Hello, and welcome to Admission Insight, a podcast series designed to help your family navigate the independent school world as well as the admission process. I'm Sharon Jarbo, Director of Admission and Financial Aid here at the Pennington School in New Jersey, and I'm seated with my co-host, Chandler Fraser-Pauls. Hey, Chan.
Hi, Sharon.
How are you doing today?
I'm great. I'm really excited about the subject we have today on our podcast. We're going to be focusing on religion and spiritual life in independent schools and the benefits of them. Our guests are great, and I think our listeners will love it.
Great. Thank you.
So you say you want to apply to private school. We're going to show you what to do. Walk through the steps to take, and everything's going to turn out great. We're going to find the right.
The topic of religion and spirituality at independent schools is really interesting because it basically doesn't exist in public schools right now, at least in the United States. Every school has a different way of handling it. And here at Pennington, because we were founded by the Methodist Church in 1838, we've been thinking about these topics for a long time, and we believe we've been immeasurably enriched by them. So today we have two very special guests who are new to this community, but not new to religion and spirituality. We have David Hallgren, who is our new chaplain. Hello, David, welcome.
It's nice to be here, thank you.
Thank you, and we have Nate Van Iperen, who is the chair of our Department of Religion. Hi, Nate.
Hi.
Thank you for joining us here on Admission Insight. So I'm really interested in the backgrounds that you're both bringing to our school this year. You're not new to your fields, and you're bringing a wide range of perspectives and practical experience in your field. So I'd love for you to introduce yourselves and tell our listeners a bit about what you've been doing in your field so far. Nate?
Sure. Well, I'm thrilled to be here at the Pennington School and to be joining my good friend David Hallgren in the Religion Department. David and I met each other back in 2004 when we were both enrolled in a Master of Divinity program at Princeton Theological Seminary. So it's great to be now collaborating as colleagues. I come to TPS from my experience at Gustavus Adolphus College, where I was teaching in Minnesota for the last couple years, teaching courses in my area of expertise, which is religion and environmental ethics.
Amazing. And I know you've just held back from admitting this and mentioning it, but I know that you've written a book and published a book on this topic. Could you speak a little bit about that?
Sure, yeah. I'm very excited to have this project done. It's a book that I published with Lexington Books in June of this year. It's entitled Gratitude for the Wild, Christian Ethics in the Wilderness. And it's the culmination of several years of studying the idea of wilderness in America and the ways in which that idea can help shape the sorts of people we want to become.
Pretty impressive. Okay, what do you have, David?
Well, I am very excited to be here as well. I'm not new to the Pennington community. I served Pennington Presbyterian Church for the last 7 years as associate pastor of Christian education, and before that was a pastor at a Presbyterian church out in Seattle, Washington. And before that, I directed camps and did outdoor education, have worked with young people for the last 20 years, and I'm excited to bring some of that to my experience here.
Well, it's amazing how you two intersect through that connection to the outdoors, to service, to your faith, right? And even in divinity school. So what do you think attracted you both to Pennington? How did your paths cross yet again?
I felt over the last few years working within the church in a parish ministry, I felt more and more excited to be around young people and how they were developing and understanding the world, and really could look across the street and see the vibrant life of the Pennington School and get to know people who are working here and students who are here, and was always intrigued at the life that was going on the campus. And so when the opportunity came up, I jumped on it to to see if it would be a good fit, and I'm really glad that it has shown to be that.
Yeah, for me, I can say that what was so attractive about the Pennington community was the opportunity to really dive deep into big questions, to see those questions land on the faces of students, and to encourage them to really take those questions that are at the center of religion and philosophy and ethics and begin to apply that to their own lives. So what I loved about being a liberal arts college professor was you could do that with 30 students, but now here at the Pennington School, the close-knit community, the small classrooms, even the furniture in the classroom makes it an extraordinary opportunity to really get into those big questions.
Amazing. You're both bringing so much to our community. These students are really fortunate to have you. What is it that you think that religion and spirituality bring to an educational community, to a 6th through 12th grade day and boarding school in central New Jersey? Mm-hmm. How are we enriched by it?
Well, I can say that one of the great advantages of coming in and working with David and sharing with him this responsibility is being able to make a distinction between the academic study of religion in the classroom and the work that happens in community life in the chapel, but not to see those as entirely separate, so to see them as cooperative. So our goals when we're teaching our religion classes are really to introduce ethical questions, the engagement with religious traditions, towards the ends of really having students think about their own moral development, to cultivate a sense of religious literacy, that they would understand their fellow citizens, understand world cultures and the great world's traditions so that they can understand themselves more fully. That can be an academic enterprise, but it dovetails really nicely to the work that David's doing, both in the classroom and in the chapel.
I think it's important to think about every student, every faculty member, every person who's a part of this community as a person, as an individual who is able to be cared for and has needs and pain and excitement and all of the things that make us human together. And so to be someone who is tasked with considering what that means in this community is a privilege and something that excites me every day. I feel gratitude every day that I get to step into that space of students' lives and listen to them and consider what they're feeling and how they're viewing the world, what makes them afraid, what makes them excited, and be able to speak to that in chapel and then to sit in a circle in a classroom and discuss how traditions have put us in a place to connect with each other. And then to feel like I have partners around campus, of a community who really does care about individual students.
You know, our chapel tradition, the once a week, everyone walking into town together, I think is such a subtle, even underappreciated somewhat, but powerful way that we build community here. And when families come to campus, they always comment on how close-knit and vibrant and kind and welcoming our community seems. And I don't think we give quite enough recognition to that chapel.
I agree 100%. I think when you travel together, even if it's a short walk, you move from the rhythm of your day to come apart from it. And when you all separate together to a space and a place that is given to you as a gift to relax, to think about life in a different way, I do think it is a gift to the community. And then when we sit and are all encouraged and we do realize that religion is not a force that separates us, but that chapel space is a place where every single person, no matter what their belief or where they come from, can be brought together, I think it's powerful.
So this idea of every single person, regardless of their belief or their traditions, being brought together, that's sort of the root of the skepticism that I sometimes see from families who are applying or scouting schools. They want to, if they happen not to be Methodist or even Christian especially, or even to be agnostic or atheist, whatever they believe or don't believe, they want to make sure that their child's belief system and traditions will be respected. Mm. So could you speak a little bit about how we honor and include and build understanding among faiths here?
Mm-hmm. This is an opportunity for us to get students to begin to consider where they're coming from. So it's both an investigation of their own commitments, if they have any. If they come from a religious tradition, those commitments are always welcome in the classroom, but there's no prerequisite of belief. Our goal in the religion classroom is to expose students to a diversity of traditions so that they can both understand themselves better, but also understand their neighbors. One thing that I've really appreciated about the way that David has entered into his role as chaplain is reflecting both the tradition of the Methodist faith tradition in the chapel service, but then inviting community members and other traditions to be part of that space. So I really see that diversity as something that's a value added to the community, not something that's a detraction.
I think about religion, and what we read in the news sometimes tells us how it's a powerful force that divides or separates or creates walls that people are insiders or outsiders of. My experience and my hope, and what I hope to nourish or nurture here, is the opposite, is a place where we know that when you hear the word Christian or Muslim or Buddhist or atheist or agnostic, you get to know a person, and you know that that person isn't just the label that our society or our culture has given to them, but they're a person who is dynamic and able to connect. And once we connect with each other, then we begin to more deeply respect and understand the faith or the belief or the traditions that we come from. And so having a chapel space that allows for that, where we can learn about other celebrations and religious rituals, but also ways where we struggle with belief, I think is a great thing that draws us together and kind of redefines religion, what we're given and then what we make of it. I'm more hopeful about what we can make of it than sometimes what we're given.
Well, I know that right now we have students representing over 20 different religions mm-hmm. and faiths as part of our community, and only 4 of them are Methodist. So that starts to begin to express how diverse we are. And over the years in chapel, I have heard scriptures being read from the Old Testament, the New, the Torah, from the Quran, from Sufi poets, from the Yoga Sutras. And I've seen leaders from different faiths even welcomed to come up and talk about their faith or offer a celebration or a prayer. And one time I even saw this very intellectual student who was a bit precocious, and he was a self-professed agnostic. Mm. And he wanted to be able to have a platform to speak about why and how even he was welcome to stand up. And he ended up at Brown University, I think majoring in philosophy. But I loved that level of inclusion.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's great. I think having a platform where we all consider what belief means to us, and that happens in an individual way. So hearing individual voices from different perspectives, I think, really contributes. It contributes to my belief. I know when we learn about Diwali in chapel, the similarities between some celebrations in different cultures helped me understand how I celebrate in a new way. And so that's what I hope for students too, is to see that sometimes we think of ourselves as different, but then when we hear someone, how they do something, a ritual or tradition, we realize, oh, I do something very similar to that. We have a connection. We're humans.
So there's certain principles that just sort of shine a light into a heart, into a community, into a space. And I think by welcoming discussions and practices of religion and spirituality, this is happening. And I know that you two share a commitment to these themes of flourishing and gratitude. So in closing today, I'd love for you to share a little bit about why that's important to you both.
Yeah, for me, flourishing, it's a word that I've borrowed from Miroslav Volf, who's a theologian at Yale University, and he is one of my favorites. And he talks about what it means that the divine, whatever you understand, is where humans, where you, the fingerprints are where you see humans flourishing together. So that means that we as humans grow and are taken care of and have a place where we're nurtured, but that we also do it in community. It doesn't happen in isolation. So flourishing to me, we don't have to say we have to do this in one specific tradition or rooted in one way. We really can work together to say what is the best for each of us, and then how do we share that with each other?
Yeah, and I think those themes, again, connect really nicely to this theme of gratitude, which, as you can tell from the title of my book, is something I've been thinking about for a while. Gratitude, to my mind, is the product of a thoroughgoing education, that the cultivation of gratitude is one of the great gifts of an education that's possible here at the Pennington School. That gratitude as a response to experiences of wonder or awe or the confrontation with a new idea or the appreciation of a teacher or a fellow student is something that is or can produce a disposition, a way of being in the world that's different than just an experience or an emotion. And that would be my hope, that students coming out of the chapel or out of the religion classroom have gained some skills in the cultivation of that kind of disposition.
Well, the themes you both have brought today and discussed with us so openly really speak to some of the benefits of having an independent school that's free to include religion and spirituality within community and curriculum. So thank you both so much for sharing your thoughts, your hearts, and your time with us today.
Thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure.